Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything you do. Lord, please remove me. Help me to be your vessel to give people in this congregation what you need them to hear. Lord, we thank you for everything you do. Lord, we ask for perseverance going through hard times. We ask for prayer for those who are struggling right now, health-wise, financial-wise, physical-wise. Lord, we thank you for everything you do. Lord, be within our presence. We ask for your Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this is going to be weird. It's going to be a weird sermon. Embrace your weird. Some of you wear your weird everywhere, and some of you kind of hide your weird, but today it's going to be weird. One of the reasons why is, you know, we sometimes we think we have God in a box. We know exactly what God is all the time. But and God doesn't change, but there's just, we can't fathom everything that God does. We can't fathom everything that God is. So with that being said, Jesus heals a blind man. As he went along, he saw a blind man. He saw a man blind from birth. So in this miracle, God searches this person out. This is not one of those miracles where somebody found out that Jesus was coming into an area and then they went and found him. He found this man. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You have to kind of know the Old Testament way of thought was that you had to have sinned to have someone born this way or be in a situation. And it's kind of a justification thing we do in our own heads. They got what they deserved. We're all kind of guilty of that before, you know. I hate to say this, but we do that. We you know, somebody murders somebody, they get 20, 30 years in prison or whatever, or life, or whatever the case may be. But if we'll turn to Exodus, you don't need to turn there. I'll turn there. 34:7, you can write this down if you want to read it later. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents of the third and fourth generation. So a lot of people like to kind of hang on to that, but just because someone is born with a handicap or whatever doesn't necessarily mean anybody in their circle has sinned. It just, sometimes we're in these situations because God wants us to be there, and he has given us strength and humility to be there. So keep that in mind. Verse 3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." So when Jesus says that, he's talking about suffering, and we want to make, like I said, we want to make sense of suffering. This person's suffering, so what did they do? If a person doesn't have enough food, or the person doesn't have what we like to think they failed to plan, or plan to fail, or whatever, we like to justify that. And it's not always the case. Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes we're put in the way to bless that person, or bless these people. So keep that in mind as well. "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am in the light of the world." Now, Jesus was referring to himself, and the future of the Holy Spirit is to come. My first point was, have faith in Jesus, because it doesn't always make sense, even when it doesn't make sense. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes our faith and the miracles that God does in our life doesn't make sense. How many of you ever been brought through something you had no idea how you made it? Check show up in the mail. I was talking last week when I was being ordained. Checks kept showing up. Things kept getting paid. Books kept getting taken care of. And I was just in awe of what God did. Absolute awe. And it sometimes just lets you know that we have the Creator. The Creator does things for us. Not to say that every single want will ever get met, but your needs will be met. So keep that in mind. As long as you're doing what you need to be doing, God's looking out for you. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with saliva and put this on the man's eyes. Now, if you're reading this and you think that God, people spitting on the ground and making saliva and putting it on people's eyes is normal, then we need to talk. But this is very different. And everybody there was probably thinking, what is he doing? But this is the Creator. And what I found out is that most of this miracle was to build this man's faith. We kind of look at this as very weird, but Adam was made from the dirt, as name somewhat translates into dirt man. So this helps to understand that he's trying to grow this man's faith. This man didn't seek out Jesus. Jesus sought out him. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So Jesus has just put a thing on his eyes, made spit and mud, and he's went to a pool to wash. Now this pool has been a place of miracle before. So this is not necessarily a fresh idea of a miracle happening at this pool. So this would have also helped him think, oh, well, a miracle could happen here. He just had to have faith of what he knew. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who sat and begged? Some claimed that he is. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself says, I am the man. So these people were astonished. And I don't really necessarily mean astonished. I mean, like, they did not believe this had happened. So the first thing they do is they like to be skeptical. Whenever anything happens good, we like to say, well, such and such happened, so that's why this happened. Like God couldn't use any other method other than what he did in the first place. Understand, God has many methods. But these people were skeptical, so he gets a chance to speak up for himself. And how then were your eyes opened, they said. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on his eyes, on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and washed. So when I went and washed, then I could see. Where is this man? They asked. I don't know, he said. So the man is no longer blind, and people are continuing to ask questions. Which brings me to my second point. When good things happen, give praise, not questions. Why do we question good things? I mean, we like to justify them. Even when good things happen to people, we like to think, we like to rationalize it. The rain came because of the water vapor and the water cycle. Well, maybe it came for another reason. Going down to verse 13. The Pharisees investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. We live in kind of a farming community still. And I know a lot of people have done things on Sundays because Monday was going to rain, or Tuesday was going to rain, or whatever. And Sunday you was the only shot you had at getting in whatever, hay being a big thing. But this community, or these people, would have saw this as farming. Spitting on the ground and putting water into it and putting it on something. They would have saw this as a labor. You have to realize just how religiously rigid these people were. So you need to know that. Which brings me to my third point. The Sabbath is made to glorify God and rest man. In Luke 14:5, then he asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And they had nothing to say. That was Jesus then. So, I don't know about you, but if I had a pet, a child, I would get it out of the well. A child especially. And these people would know different. The point is to break the monotony of your work, to give God glory, and to rest your bodies. Your body is wired to stop after 6 days. That's why if anybody's ever had to work continuously day after day after day after day after day, your body starts to fall apart. You work 7 days for about 3 months, you'll start to have feet problems. You'll start to have arm problems. You'll start to have a lot of problems because your body's not wired to be able to do that. So keep that in mind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud was on a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes. The man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does things, he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. So they didn't quite understand what was going on. They chose to choose the wrong side. They chose to choose that this, they didn't believe what Christ had done. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about it? It was your eyes open." The man replied, "He is a prophet." Immediately going to the highest thing he could think of. He may have not heard of the Messiah. He may not have heard of Christ. But he had heard of prophets. Prophets were a big thing in the Old Testament. So don't think that he had just demoted Christ in his mind. He was actually promoting him into the highest position he could think of. They still did not believe him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had sent for the blind man's parents. So they called for mom and dad. I want you to go through their perspective. You just had a child that was either A, born with an injury or some kind of condition or something, and Christ has just healed it. They're all fired up and overjoyed. This is a glory to God on the highest kind of moment. And then the Pharisees show up. So they want to get angry with the person who's done this good thing. And they're not there to praise Jesus. They're there to shoot holes into whatever's going on. "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they basically threw it in their son's court to answer for this, because testifying for Jesus or pro Jesus or whatever you would call it nowadays would get them kicked out of their church. They would no longer be able to be part of their church. That's a horrible thing. If you're happy about a miracle Jesus did, we're going to kick you out of church. Just think about how awful a statement that would be. But yet, you know, their son is now not blind, so of course they're overjoyed. But now they're being threatened with their religious beliefs. A second time, they summoned the man who was blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." So again, they attack who Christ is after giving glory to God. How ironic. He replied, "Whether this man is a sinner, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing is I do know, I was blind and now I see." So they're attacking Jesus for this miracle that he did. Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" Again, they keep asking the same question. You ever watch one of those cop shows or CSI shows or what? Anytime they take a statement for a criminal act or something, they just continually ask over and over again, trying to trip you up or see if your story is consistent. That's exactly what's going on here. They're just continually asking over and over to see if he says something different. He answered, "I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" So he's saying basically he wants to follow Christ. He's in the primary new stages of it, but he's happy about this. And I don't blame him for being happy. Then they hurled insults into him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses." So they put Moses over Christ, which neither do they seem to know. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. So they don't know where he's coming from. But yet they've made the judgment call that he's not who he says he is. The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will, which is true. He listens to who, you know, want to be his disciples and are disciples. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So basically, they don't know where this came from. They're just saying it's horrible, which defies logic because he didn't hurt anyone. He helped the man see. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. They didn't have the conversation with Christ, but we know from reading the Bible, the man was not steeped in sin, and his parents weren't steeped in sin. And Christ did this just through God's glory. That brings me to my fourth point. God seeks us out. Be looking for him. Jesus heard that the man had been thrown out, and he found him. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" I want you to kind of get this in your head. Jesus went back to find him. He sought him out again. He looked and found him. Some of us have been sought out more than once, 2, 3 times. Some of us were just looking for him before we found him. Some of us are sought out so many times, it's just almost embarrassing. But Jesus doesn't just come to the people who come looking for him. Sometimes he looks for them. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me that I may believe in him." He's already ready to believe in him. Jesus asked, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is speaking to you." Now, you have to realize that he did not have his sight till after he went to the pool and came back. So he didn't really know what Jesus looked like. So this is the first time he's actually seeing Jesus. He had heard him, been in his presence, but he had not seen his body. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. It gave him worship right there. Jesus said, "For judgment, I have come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will be blind." So Jesus is saying that the ones who think they know what's going on don't always know what's going on. We can think that we have it all figured out, but not have it figured out. But Christ was there to be the part, the translator, dictionary, whatever you want to call it, to teach them where to be. Some Pharisees who were with him say to this and ask, "Are we blind too?" Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The Lord helps us to understand things. We don't always understand everything he does. We need to keep that in mind. It's a humble thing to keep it in mind. And it can happen to any of us. Well, we think we've got this religion thing figured out. We've got this Christianity thing figured out. We figured out life. And then God shows us that we're just now beginning. We're just scratching the surface of what we need to know. So what I really want you to take away from this is that God can do things in a strange way. And it isn't always the way we think it is. Be patient. Be prayerful. Read your Bibles. Talk to God. Be who you're supposed to be.